Breastfeeding, mum shaming, modern mothering, anxiety, meal planning, financials, disciplining children, therapy parenting are but a few subjects we will be discussing during our first season to dismiss the stigmas around those subjects. So please join in with the discussion so we can make a supportive community for all parents. Please send us a voice message so you can have your say and be featured on our next episode. You can keep the conversation going on Instagram. Head on over to our Instagram page, which is called Living the Life of Mum. Or if you want to get in touch with Danny, she is Living the Life of Riley. And we are your hostesses. Okay, so we are going to be focusing this week on how having children affects relationships, right?
Yes.
So we are both in long-term relationships. You've been with Johnny how long?
12 years.
And I've been with Connor coming 6 years. Obviously, Louise has got Troy with Johnny and I've got Pippa and Ronnie with Connor. Both of us have had our own fair share of hurdles that we've overcome. So what we've done is we've come together and we've discussed our own kind of issues and what we face and how we've overcome them. And we've also had a look as well of online at some statistics on what the common issues are in relationships, like transitioning from just being in a relationship to actually becoming parents as well. So we'll go over those points as well. So, Louise, what would you say is the most common hurdle that you and Johnny have had to face since Troy was born?
I would say the housework.
The housework?
Yeah.
Is it as in, like, not sharing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day, one person will be like, well, you didn't do this, so I'm not doing it this day. And then, or one of us will be like, well, you stayed up all night with the babies, so yeah. I shouldn't have to do this.
Do you know, it's really funny because me and Connor have similar arguments to the point where he turned around the once and he said to me, do you know what, I go to work, so why am I going to come home and why should I have to help you? The difference is, like, with a stay-at-home mum, sorry, Ronnie's kicking off as usual, with a stay-at-home mum, we're not just housemaids, like your hairdresser, your chef, your cleaner, everything's just rolled into one. And if you've got a demanding child that's taking you away from housework, it's impossible to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is hard, but it's like, how on earth do you actually overcome that? So what have you got anything in place as of yet of how you've overcome it, or are you trying to overcome it?
Well, it's still a work in progress, but the only thing that improved it dramatically is we role swapped for 6 months.
Yeah.
So John stayed at home after he was made redundant.
Mm-hmm.
And I went full time.
Mm-hmm.
I hated every minute of it.
You do though, don't
yeah.
you?
It's I like, didn't like being
for some
away
people
from them.
They just can't
yeah.
deal but, with it.
But I come home after a full-time shift and the house wouldn't be clean and the dinner wouldn't be cooked
yeah.
unless I wasn't there to do it, then he'd cook it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I have found, like, this time round, because I'm breastfeeding, I don't know if there's any breastfeeding mums listening, but it's very demanding. Ronnie's fed on demand, so half the time I can be getting stuck into something and he needs feeding and then I have to sit down, and if it's not a good feed it goes on for a long time, and within, you know, an hour's gone and I've spent an hour, it doesn't feel like an hour, but I've spent an hour feeding, and I've only got between 9 and 3 to get the house done before Pippa's actually home. So there's an hour down, and then I need to eat myself. So there's probably another half an hour to an hour down. And then obviously I'll start cleaning again, and then he needs feeding again. And that's like the problem I have. So what we do now is I clean in the week. And on a weekend, like, he kind of jumps in and tries to help me. But half the time, like, I think it's just one of these things where women have to ask the men. Like, I have to ask for help sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I think it, they become so accustomed. I think it's because, obviously, a man's had a mother, like, a mothering role. And when their partners become mothers, we adopt that mothering role mm-hmm. of the cleaning, the cooking, the making sure everything's taken care of, the washing. And I think because I'm very much motherly orientated, I just kind of sweep it from under his feet and get on with it. Whereas if I'm stuck to the ground and I'm having to feed Ronnie,
yeah,
it, I need that help. Yeah, it is impossible. Just like if you're having a rough day with Troy, like I'm sure you've had days where his behaviour is testing you so much and all yeah. you've done is naughty step and try all your different strategies that you've got for discipline because of his age. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure you've Definitely. Had days where you've been like, right, John, I need some help now. Like, can you yeah. can you just let the dogs out, or can you just wash up, or can you do dinner?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think
it has got a lot better recently. Yeah. A lot better. And then, like you said, on the weekends he comes home and he digs in and helps.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good that he's obviously like helping you. But like I say, another thing that we wanted to have a look at was some statistics. So this is a good one. Research by the Centre for Policy Studies shows that more than half of cohabitating couples split up within 5 years of the birth of a child, while only a quarter of those who marry after the birth of a child have separated within 5 years, and only 8% of married couples have parted. So that's quite a big chunk, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
More than half of cohabitating couples split within 5 years of the birth of a child. Like, that's craziness, isn't it? When you actually think to yourself, like, 5 years might seem like a long time, but in terms of a child, it's not.
No.
Like, so much happens for a child in the space of 5 years for them. But for us, you're so busy raising that tiny little human, it's gone. Like, mm-hmm. 5 years with Alfie, we went like, boom, gone.
Yeah.
So to think, I think when you have your first child, it absorbs you Definitely. A lot more because you are learning. Like, you've not done this before, you know. It doesn't come with a manual.
It's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. You know, you've got more risk of mental illness as well if you haven't got a good support network. Mm.
It's all encompassing. Is that the right word?
Mm.
It just takes over everything. Like, that child just is on every thought that you have.
Yeah.
You're like, how's it going to affect my baby?
Or, yeah.
Will this work out in the long run?
And how do you find that balance between yourself being you, not just being mom, not just being girlfriend, like, you still need to be you. How do you find that balance between being you, being mom, and being partner? Like, if you've never had to do that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what goes instantly is being you. That's gone. Like, I feel like that even now, and I'm on my third child. Like, I still feel like I'm still trying to find myself again after having Ronnie. So when it's the first child and you're learning how to be a parent, you're learning all these different stages that a child goes through, you're learning how to feed them, how to change their nappy, how to set a routine in place, you're that busy focusing on stuff like that. No wonder people do split up, because where's your time for being partner?
It's not the same person they met, is
no.
it?
No, you do change, like, you do. Like, I'm not saying that men don't change, because Connor has changed, like, in terms of, like, his personality, his temperament's changed, so he's a lot calmer. He assesses situations, like, really different now. Like, everything's a risk assessment with Connor now, and the kids.
I would say that John's the same
now. Yeah, yeah. But it's just not, it's not been easy. Like, we've hit so many hurdles where me and Connor have split up, and we've had that bit of time where, okay, I haven't got three divisions here. I haven't got to focus on kids being mom. I haven't got to focus on you. And then I haven't got to focus on myself. I've took you out of the equation. I've had time to find myself again, figure out what I am, who I am, what I need. First of all, obviously, being mom. And then, like, we reconnected. We needed that clean break. But not everybody comes back after that.
No.
Do they? Because, like you say, you do change. And you might not be the person that that person fell in love with anymore.
Mm.
Like, luckily for me and Connor, we did come back together. And we did have that clean break. And I felt like it made us realise how much we actually did love one another. So it does test you, even like 6 years down the line. Like, we're having certain hurdles now, like, obviously, like, on postnatal 11 weeks, affection's a massive thing. It goes, it does, it, like, drifts away, because you just become comfortable, don't you?
Well, I've actually got more statistics on that part of it as
Go
well.
Go on.
Shall I read it?
Yeah, you read it.
Okay, so, romantic relationships take a dive after baby arrives, according to research.
That definitely happened for me.
So, this is from the website Gottman.com. And it says, new parents face a decline in sex and intimacy. They struggle with how to fairly divide household responsibilities and the needs of the baby with little time for a romance and a connection. Couples often get caught up in keeping score, which I was talking about a minute ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that, you know.
It's right on the money, isn't it?
Yeah, that's... it is, because, like, I had Ronnie, and then obviously you have a baby. You girls that are listening will know, once you've had a baby, your body has changed loads. You've had 9 months of feeling more than likely shit, because I know I did. I felt awful for 9 months, you know that. Yeah. With my SPD and my hyperemesis, like, all that combined into one, and then all of a sudden you've been exhausted for 9 months, and then you give birth, and then you're exhausted again.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's like a vicious circle. And then, like, you know, you have your postnatal check, and then you're thinking about getting, like, romantic again. And I needed that intimacy with Connor to make my confidence boost. Does that make sense? To make me feel sexy again, to make me feel wanted and desirable. And that didn't happen, because it was, I don't know how to explain it, but I don't know whether it was, like, psychologically I wasn't ready, or I was really, really self-conscious. I didn't want him looking at me, and there was just loads of stuff. So then for a while, it didn't happen. And then eventually we did reconnect, and when we did reconnect, it was great. But the intimacy side of things, it went from, obviously, you know, you sleep together and whatnot, but there was nothing in between. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it went from the kissing
and
the cuddles.
And the cheeky flirting.
All that, the cheeky flirting. Mm. Or, you know, sometimes you might drop a little picture message, you know, just a little tease. And that went, because I'm not confident in myself.
Yeah.
And that's where I lost what I was actually looking for, because I was looking for myself to build confidence through Connor. Through looking at Connor and thinking, you need to want me. You need to look at me and make me feel like you want me. When in actual fact, I needed to want myself. I need to like myself. There's no way he's going to give me my confidence. Mm-hmm. I need to get my confidence. And it's true that that's what's happened with me. I mean, I don't know whether you've had the same kind of intimacy issues after having tried. Where you do drift apart, don't you? But I don't think it's because you're not attracted to anybody. I think it's the woman not being happy in herself.
Yeah, because the body's changed so much.
Did you feel like that, though?
Definitely, yeah, I did.
Oh, honestly, and I think breastfeeding as well is a big thing, because obviously with a woman, if you're breastfeeding, you get aroused.
Your body's not...
Your things are leaking. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's like, if you don't wear a bra, it's just a mood kill. Like, it is. Like, with me, if we're going to get down to the deed, I'm leaking everywhere. No, that it just happens, and I know not all women have that, but I was leaking everywhere, and then it's just like, oh, that's it then. Like, I'm just
one thing that I struggled with, because obviously we had the Moses basket near the bed.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Was it like mum guilt?
Yeah. I couldn't do it because I was like, my son's there. Like, you don't do it with a baby in the room.
No.
Like, I couldn't get over it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we've got a next to me crib we have, so we forever feel like we're being watched. The amount of times that we've, like, I don't know, like, not that we're working up to something, but if we do have, like, a cheeky kiss in bed and stuff like that, and something could progress, Ronnie wakes up.
Oh.
I don't know whether he's like, you ain't making no more babies, I am the only baby.
I've
had to, like, give him, like, a cheeky nudge and be like, it's alright, honey, I'm on the coil now, you're all good. But do you know what I mean? It's like, he flipping knows, and then me and Connor just look at each other, and it's coming to, like, 12, 1 o'clock, and he's like, and then I'm upset then, I'm like, you don't fancy me anymore. You don't fancy me anymore, and that's what's going on in
my
head.
But it's literally just because they've been
work all day.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, our fellas have got the same job, and it's, like, highly manual, like, you know, they're on the go all the time, and they do come home absolutely knackered. But you always, why is it that women jump to the worst case scenario. Like, I'm like, right, you don't fancy me anymore. He's not attracted to me. He's not in love with me. That's what's been happening. And I sound like an absolute psycho, but I'm that insecure in myself that that is immediately what I jumped to, rather than the fact that the guy's been at work since 6 o'clock this morning.
He just wants
not
a bit
earlier.
Of peace and quiet.
He wants peace and quiet for starters, and he just wants to go to bed. Like, he's knackered.
Yeah.
But then I'm not knackered because I'm wired then, and I'm like, what?
An adult conversation, spilling out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're arguing then till 1 o'clock in the morning, and you're like, oh, for goodness sake. And it's like a vicious circle. And this is where me and Connor have been as of lately. Arguing, when we don't argue, it's more like a heated dispute. Like, you know, it's like it's like stern way of talking, but we're having a conversation. Do you know what I mean? So there's no ranting and raving, there's no one kicking off. It's just, you can tell that the tone's a bit firmer than what a normal conversation would be between us, because obviously we've got a baby in the room, we've got a 4-year-old in the next room. If Alf is here, do you know what I mean? He's going to hear it as well. So I just think to myself now, like, when I look back at sitting in bed at 1, 2, 3 in the morning, thinking, he don't fancy me anymore. I look back and I'm like, dude, check yourself. Like, he's been at work all day.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to rest. He needs the break. And
but you can't see it from this perspective sometimes, especially when you're going through, you know, that afterbirth. What am I trying to say?
It's like the hormonal confidence change, and like, you do yearn to feel
connection.
Attracted and attracted to a connection, because I don't know whether other people felt it, but towards the end of my pregnancy, the connection with me and Connor fizzled off because there was no intimacy. I felt shit all the time. Like, I was in pain with the SPD, I was exhausted, I was getting ready to give birth. Do you know what I mean? So everything just slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
Mega slowed down. And I think we're reconnecting now, but it's just more about, you need to focus on being yourself and making yourself feel good, as opposed to
not looking for that confirmation in somebody else. Even
yeah.
if it is someone that you love and,
yeah.
you know, they're part of your life.
Yeah.
It's not up to them to make you feel confident.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, because I was looking for it in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And I was blaming it in the wrong place as well.
Yeah.
But some people, I mean, we've gone off tandem here completely, because I'm obviously relating it to a very present issue that I'm going through at the minute. But it's like, some people do drift apart massively. Like, it's like a wedge. It's, you both love this baby that you've created so much that you forget how to love one another. And and that is exactly what happens. That's what happened with me and Connor when we had Pippa. Like, that happened. And we were off. And then we reconnected, and, you know, we've been back together and we've made Ronnie. But this time we're fighting to keep that connection rather than let it slip.
Yeah.
Like, we love him. We love Pippa. We are absorbed by being parents and running the house and him working full time and me managing everything else that I have to manage. But it's like we keep reining it in. We're letting it go. Wherever some people just think that there's no way of saving it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many things you can try.
Yeah. Well, I say, if there's no passion in your relationship, then you wouldn't argue.
Mm.
So the only reason why you would be having heated discussions is because you do still love each other and you do want to be together.
Yeah, not just sexual you would just tension.
Give up. Yeah. Because you would just give up if you didn't want to be there anymore.
No, but the fact is, though, that that's such a massive percentage. Over half is massive, and it's sad because it's so common now to see single parents.
Yeah.
And it is. And I don't know whether that's because of the way that, like, society has evolved. Of before, it was frowned upon.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was frowned upon to be a single parent. It was frowned upon to have a child before you were married. Or, do you know what I mean? There's so many things that have changed, whereas now it's socially acceptable to be a single parent. If anything, it's inspiring, because you are single-handedly raising one, maybe two, maybe three, even more kids on your own. And just doing it, like, in the day, waiting for your partner to come home is hard enough. So imagine not having that feeling of your partner coming home and taking some of that tension off you.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't imagine it. I mean, obviously, if it ever happened, you've got to deal with it because your kids need you.
Yeah.
But, like, there's people out there doing that, and I can't imagine not having that feeling of, right, half five's coming, he's going to be home soon, I can hand baby over and I can go for a wee.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and some people don't have that. Some people ain't going for a wee.
Yeah. Well, maybe if someone wants to have their say, they could send us a message and we can read it.
Yeah,
that would
be great. Like, we'd love to have a single dad, single mum, either or, we don't mind. You know, I know obviously it's called Living the Life of Mum. That's because we're mums, so that's what it means. But this is parent based. It doesn't matter if you're same sex parents, if you're single parents. Either we want to hear about
other people's views,
other people's experience, their hurdles, how they've got over it. Because ultimately, if we don't talk about these things, no one's going to get help. And that's what I wish I had when I became a mum, is the experience I've got now then. Because I wouldn't have been half as stressed as what I was. I don't think I would have suffered with half the anxiety as what I did, because I suffered really bad. I still have anxiety now, because 4 years down the line, having another baby, I was like, whoa, everything has changed. You're not allowed baby wipes on the wards anymore. I had to take cotton wool and water. I know that's minor, but, like, obviously the BMI has been lowered for glucose intolerance tests. There's just loads of stuff that changed, and it rocked my world, I can tell you that for nothing. So, and I'm, you know, 7 years into being a mum. So imagine the anxiety that new mums are having nowadays as well. It's just, I've been there, I know how it feels. So to have any form of guidance, that's why we've done this podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
All the leaflets that you get chucked at you and all the books that you, you know, they're,
yeah, they're going in your bag and you ain't looking at that.
Yeah. Or it's too in depth and you're like, well, I don't understand it. It's too many complicated words.
How is a book about what a medical professional advises you do in terms of, I don't know, baffing a child or...
It's never how they explain it, is
no,
it?
It's not. Like, and it's also good to get hints and tips on how to do certain things or what worked for us. Because we're two different mums.
Mm-hmm.
We're only two out of billions of mums.
Yeah.
But this is the point. Like, we start as two and we grow the community as three, four, five. And we've got, like, we've got a friend, Demi, who's got two cleft lip babies. She's got an eldest and her youngest are both cleft. And then her middle child hasn't got cleft. And it's like her, she's got two babies, two different type of cleft lips. She's going to come on as a guest. She's going to come and talk about what she's going through, the transition into obviously giving birth, not even knowing that she had a baby with cleft lip and how she dealt with that. There could be another mum tomorrow that wakes up, goes into labour, has a baby with cleft lip, that could listen to her podcast and be like, wow, okay, so this is what I can expect.
Mm-hmm.
These feelings I'm feeling right now towards my baby, towards everyone else, in myself, to myself, is normal.
Yeah.
And until you hear something that's coming from someone else, you ain't gonna know that.
No.
And that makes things worse.
Yeah. When you first have a baby as well, you think even though there's so many women or people are having babies at this moment, you still think that you're alone and that no one else knows what you're going through.
Yeah, exactly. I felt incredibly isolated, more so with Pippa.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I already had a child, obviously Alfie, and he hit terrible twos hard, like really, really hard. And then I had a newborn baby and I felt like Alfie was so difficult, I needed to be housebound anyway. I couldn't cope with leaving the house with both the kids. It was just horrendous. Like, I love my kids to pieces, but in terms of going through that vicious cycle of, I can't leave the house because I can't cope with them both out on my own. Do you know what I mean? So it was just a case of, you do become isolated. People aren't very understanding on how your children behave either. So yeah, it can be, it is isolating. And also, not every mum has other mum friends, do they? They don't have other mum friends. And that's something I had to learn to grow with as well. So I took myself off to some baby groups and felt really awkward.
Yeah.
Really awkward.
Oh, you struggled to go to mum and baby groups.
I felt judged
yeah.
by a lot of mums because I was younger. I had two kids. By the time I was 23, I had two kids.
Okay.
So I felt, like, incredibly judged. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But everything's different, and like now, obviously, when you're in a relationship, you meet other couples, which is how we connected, and that's really good. But like I say, within terms of going back to obviously the statistic that we used, it is hard. It is hard maintaining a relationship while being a parent, isn't it? Like I struggle every day. I struggle balancing the house and being a parent. I struggle having a conversation with him half the time because he has his own relationships with other people to keep up with. So he's got friends outside of work. He's got to keep up with that. I've got friends outside of being a mum. I've got to keep up with that. And sometimes it's like, you pair come last because everything else needs to be tended to before you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm sure that's not the case.
No, not in terms of priority, but it just seems to be like, you know they're there, don't you? So yeah. It's like...
They're safe at home.
Yeah. But
you know where to find them.
No. Is there any other statistics that we want to whack into this pod?
I have some tips.
Go on.
So this one, I think I've got the website at the end. It says, intimacy is a critical to a happy partnership. Big changes comes to your intimacy and sexual satisfaction. That's the one.
Go on, Lou.
When you bring your first bundle of joy home. The spontaneous passion that might have existed between you both before may not be feasible or realistic anymore.
Yeah, that's my bad. That's what I'm feeling at the minute.
You're both tired, and by the time the little one falls asleep, you both are often so tired that going to bed means falling asleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of this, it becomes all the more important to appreciate the little moments that the two of you do have. Being mindful and intentional about squeezing in a hug or a kiss before work may not be the same as spending an evening together, but the act and the sentiment behind
means the same thing, doesn't it?
Can go a long way between date nights. Flirtatious text messages or a written note slipped into a briefcase or a lunchbox.
That's given me an idea.
Right? That's what I thought when I was writing it. Before work can help to inspire and retrain some of those same playfulness that it can be so easy to lose. Mm. Saying that though, I used to make Troy, John, before he would go to work, write to Troy and me a little note on a little whiteboard that I stuck to Troy's bedroom door.
Really?
Yeah, and because he was working such long hours, this was his previous job.
Yeah.
He hardly got to see us, so I used to say, like, before you go to work tomorrow, leave us a note on the door. And I'd get Troy, when Troy woke up, I'd take him to the door and just read it to him.
That's so cute. That's like really
cute. We haven't
really
done it for a while, to be fair.
Connor does, like, always give me a kiss, like, when he leaves and when he's home. And he's like, oh, you all right and stuff. And, like, I love that because that is just, like, that little bit of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, you yearn for the passionate intimacy, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the spontaneous, you know. You know, cheeky I don't need. Don't need to say, but you know, it's spontaneous, and you know, it's quick and spontaneous. But you don't have that because you've got kids floating around. You don't know from one minute to the next if I'm going to have, you know, a child on boob while I'm trying to fold up my washing, and you know, it is hard to slip it in, and it does affect a lot of people. And there's more people out there that are needier than others. Like I do think affection-wise, I'm quite needy.
Yeah, I am.
I do. I do feel like I do yearn for the feeling of, you know, I want to be desired by him.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said to you before, though, a lot of it I do think stems from my own personal confidence, which I have now joined Slimming World, so I'm going to start feeling better about myself as the weeks go by. I think, I'm hoping so, we'll see. That's another topic, which weight loss, post-pregnancy will be definitely a topic because I'm on that path now. But yeah, I just think if there's anyone out there that has got any hints and tips for how to rekindle the intimacy after having a baby, or even with a toddler, like how do you, when you've had a stressful day, how do you reconnect with your partner when you're home, when, you know, what's the word? Tensions are high.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
What we're having trouble with at the moment with regards to mine and John's relationship is that Troy's in our bed still. I'm constantly trying to move him into his own bed. You wake up in the morning and he's in my bed again because it's quite safe in my house. Like, we don't need stair gates. But, you know, you can't really be intimate when there's a 2-year-old in between you.
Absolutely not. Because it's a mood kill for starters.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just ultimately your priority is to make sure your child's happy and safe and asleep, because they need to get their sleep, and that is hard. So if there's anybody else that is listening to our pod, I call it pod now, so whenever I'm like,
we're pros,
right, okay, we're going to be doing a pod tonight, that's how it goes. If there's anybody else that's having trouble with in regards to kids in beds, co-sleeping, how do you get out of that? Because they started doing it, you've done it for a while, haven't
you? I've done it a couple of times.
And now they're trying to transition out of it, and it's proving extremely difficult. I cannot relate on this particular topic because I've never done it. Pippa's only ever slept in my bed when she's ill. Alfie's only ever slept in my bed when he's ill. And obviously I've got Ronnie in, next to me crib. But he only comes in my bed to be breastfed or have a cuddle in the morning. He doesn't actually sleep in there.
We're cuddle monsters. We're always
cuddle monsters. Any advice for Lou would be great, because I know they're trying to sort it and it's just proving a bit difficult.
Okay, so I've got a little bit more from that same article.
Go on.
It says, that being said, date nights should be prioritised. A social pressure on new parents to display or demonstrate their competency or investment in their child can often give rise to the idea that sacrificing everything for one's children... that sacrificing everything for one's children is a good thing, when in fact this poses a number of threats to our own mental health as parents. It may feel forced or ritualistic or even like another obligation on the long list of things to do, but getting into the habit of regularly allocating one evening or afternoon or even one morning every 2 to 3 weeks or even a month as time exclusively for you and your significant other can not only help prioritise and maintain romance and intimacy in your relationship, but you can give the two of you something to look forward to.
Like a date night, is that what you're saying? So me and Connor haven't actually had a date night at all since I've had Ronnie, and it's something that, like, we've always done it, we used to have it on a Sunday, because Pippa would go with her nan for a meal. She does that every other Sunday now, but it used to be every Sunday. So we'd go for a coffee, or, well, I wouldn't have coffee, but, you know, Costa. We'd go to Costa. Or we'd go and have, like, something cheap to eat somewhere. Sometimes we'd go to cinema. Since I've had Ronnie, we haven't done anything.
Yeah, we're the same.
I think it's my fault, though, because, like, I'm reluctant to leave Ronnie yet.
Yeah.
Because he's still small.
See, I had that. Separation anxiety. I had suffered with that a lot, as John will tell you.
It does impact you, like, because obviously, it becomes all about baby, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I didn't leave Troy for well over six, it might even be 7 months before I left him. So obviously, if we went out on a date, Troy would be there.
Yeah.
So it's not really, a date. So, and what is two now? We've probably only done it about 4 times.
Yeah.
So I could probably say it's not a priority for us. Should be. And we definitely do need it.
I think even you can do a date night at home, though. You know, you could just schedule it, right, put that £20 to one side at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
When you get paid, put that £20. That's a takeaway, right? And that's our takeaway in front of a film on the sofa. Hopefully he'll be in his own bed. But if he's not in his own bed, then that's a hurdle for you to cross at a later date. And, you know, don't go upstairs, stay downstairs and make that special, make that time special, and just allocate that time. Because what I do as well, I do a no phone policy when we're spending time together. I'm like, I don't want to sit with you talking to your mates. I don't want to sit with you, me checking my Instagram and going through my notifications. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather sit with you and have you to myself and you have me.
Yeah,
because the kids get me to themselves, you don't get that.
Yeah,
I don't get you to myself. So we do like a no phone policy. It's not even every week. It's every now and again, and I say, shall we have a night where it's just us, no phones, just telly? Might even just go to sleep. Like, there might not be any intimacy at the end of it, but at the end of the day, it's the point that you're making is it's about you and him.
Yeah,
you know,
one less distraction.
It's one less distraction. That's it. So, I definitely agree. Like, it doesn't need to be every week. I mean, once a month, I think's doable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely.
And it could be a date night at home, it could be a date night anywhere.
So that article that we were reading from then, which I took quite a large snippet from because I thought it was completely relevant.
It was relevant, and do you know what? I do it, you've done it, so yeah. It's, you know.
So that website was called BergenCounsellingCentre.com.
Right, okay, cool. So if you do want to read up more on that, feel free. There you go. But yeah, I think we've hit the nail on the head with it tonight. I do want to hear from, obviously, any people that do find that they have issues within relationships since having a baby, if they want any advice that we could potentially give them. It depends what they issues that they've got.
Definitely. And I would love to hear from someone who's a full-time working mama.
Yeah, yeah. That's something that you've obviously mentioned as well on the Instagram.
Yeah, because their views would be different again to ours. Although I did it for 6 months. I quit because I couldn't do it. But,
Can you remember imagine being a mom, a partner, potentially, a partner.
And a businesswoman.
Yourself, and your business. Oh, I don't know how these women do it. I couldn't
do it.
I don't think I've got the brain capacity. I really don't. It's inspiring. So we do want to hear from a few people regarding co-sleeping. Big one for Lou. She needs some help. So if there's any mamas out there that's offering support, please hit us up. We want to also discuss some working mamas. Getting some advice on that, how they manage. What was the last thing that we wanted to discuss?
Cleft babies.
Yeah, that was it. So we're going to get Demi on to do the podcast at some point. I have briefly spoken to her about it. She's agreed that, you know, she'd be happy to talk about it. So up and coming will be a guest appearance from Demi, who has just started her own blogging Instagram, which is amazing. I'm really glad that she's done it because she could help so many people. She could support, you know, a lot of new moms that are going through what she's already been through, bless her. So yeah, that's all coming. In our next episode, we are going to be tackling, where are we? Valentine's. That's the romance, that's today, isn't it?
Yeah.
So having
kids at home when they're off school.
Oh, so having kids at home for half term, which is bang on relevant because my kids break up this Friday. So what we will more than likely do is publish this next Monday, day one of half term.
Yep.
And we'll discuss how your routine changes, how you get them back into routine after being off school, what you can do in school holidays to fill up time. So
keep them occupied.
Yeah, money-free stuff, guys. We don't want to just go out and give all these massive mainstream companies loads of money. You can do stuff without it, and you can. So we'll discuss, obviously, routine, in, out, snacks, what kind of snacks that we use, because that's a big thing, man. When they're off school, they eat you out of house and home.
Yeah.
They do. So your budget increases. You need more food. So we'll go over all of that. It'll be quite interesting because it's going to be a fun week next week. I can tell you that for nothing, honestly. We'll hit you up with that. Is there anything else that you want to add?
No, I can edit later in post-production.
Perfecto. Right, thank you for anyone that has listened. Again, if you do want to contact us, please have a look on Instagram at Living the Life of Mum. It is managed by both me and Lou. And that's it. We'll keep you updated on the guest appearance. And if there are any more mums out there, dads, anyone,
reach out to us.
Reach out. If you're interested in coming on, come on. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.